The headlines read, secret plan for laws to reject gay students.
The government wants to avoid any controversy that could harm its chances of retaining Wentworth.
Will the Prime Minister join with Labor to ensure that teachers can't be sacked just because of who they are or who they love?
A gay teacher doesn't teach gay maths, they just teach maths.
I said that if we won the seat of Wentworth, it would make history. And my friends, we have made history today.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. A far-right homophobe leads a pro-queer leftist in Brazil's presidential contest. Uruguay's trans people win identity, health, and job rights. And a queers in schools debate prompts a political power shift in Australia. Those stories and more this week, now that you've chosen This Way Out.
I'm Monique Lukens.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending October 20th, 2018. A far-right presidential candidate in Brazil, whom some describe as the Donald Trump of the tropics, fell just short of winning a 50% majority among a field of 13 candidates in the first round of voting on October 7th. Jair Bolsonaro of the oxymoronically named Social Liberal Party received 46% of the vote and will face the runner-up, left-wing candidate Fernando Haddad, who got 29%. Haddad is the Workers' Party candidate endorsed by former President Lula da Silva, who remains a highly popular figure. Haddad replaced da Silva as the party's candidate in September after a court barred da Silva from running for re-election because of his conviction on money laundering and corruption charges. Haddad will need votes from most of those who did not choose Bolsonaro in the first round to overcome the steep deficit.
Their policy positions couldn't be more different. Bolsonaro has implied that women who are raped asked for it and said he would be incapable of loving a homosexual son. Haddad has championed LGBTQ rights and is promising to criminalize homophobia and transphobia. He has condemned Bolsonaro's offensive comments on the rights of women, ethnic minorities, and LGBTQ people, saying that his rival has a psychological problem. But Bolsonaro, a former army officer and longtime lawmaker with an undistinguished record, has also promised to bring hardline military people into his administration to restore law and order to Brazil. He's successfully using fear of the other to rally voters already disgusted by rampant government corruption, a floundering economy, and rising crime rate. One supporter tweeted that, "Today we'll start to make Brazil great again." The runoff election between Bolsonaro and Haddad is scheduled for October 28th.
Honduran President Juan Orlando Hernandez spoke out against marriage equality this week, but said LGBTQ people should be treated with dignity, no matter what their inclination, and invited all citizens to engage in the debate. "Personally, as a Christian," he told reporters, "I am against the marriage of people of the same sex. Obviously, it is the judiciary that, according to Honduran law, has to pronounce on it." A lawsuit challenging the one-man and one-woman definition of civil marriage in the Central American nation is pending in its Supreme Court. Perhaps more importantly, as one of almost two dozen nations to sign on to the Inter-American Convention on Human Rights, Honduras is bound by a January ruling of the Inter-American Court of Human Rights that ordered all signatory nations in the region that haven't already done so, and that's most of them, to open civil marriage to same-gender couples.
But Cuban President Miguel Díaz-Canel has declared his support for marriage equality. He took over the presidency from Raúl Castro in April. Castro's daughter, Mariela, has for several years been one of the country's leading proponents of queer equality. During a national television interview in September, Díaz-Canel said that recognizing marriage between two people, without limitations, responds to a problem of eliminating all type of discrimination in society. Cubans will go to the polls in February to vote on a draft constitution approved by the National Assembly to replace the 1976 National Charter, which defines civil marriage as exclusively heterosexual. The new document includes a provision making marriage gender neutral, thus opening the institution to queer couples.
The island nation's powerful Roman Catholic Church, which claims more than 60% of the Cuban population, is against the change, of course. And leaders of more than 20 different evangelical Cuban Christian denominations are doing more than voicing their opposition. They're collecting signatures on a petition to oppose Article 68 in the draft constitution because it eliminates the one man, one woman definition of marriage. Cuban Evangelical League Church President Alida Leon Baez says she expects more than 500,000 signatures will be gathered in the island nation of almost 12 million people. It's not yet clear what impact the petition might have on the pending February referendum.
Meanwhile, despite the overwhelming approval in an Australian referendum for civil marriage equality, Sydney's Anglican diocese, the country's largest, is building on its opposition to church weddings of queer couples by adding sacred practices by Indigenous people and even meditative yoga to a list of activities it's refusing to host. The upcoming 51st Synod of the Sydney Diocese will debate the introduction of policies that church-owned buildings, there are reportedly about 900 of them, are used only for acts or practices which conform to the doctrine, tenets, and beliefs of the diocese. The new ban includes advocacy for transgender ideology, e.g. gender fluidity, and advocacy for expressions of human sexuality contrary to our doctrine of marriage. Other activities to be banned on church property include abortion advocacy, traditional Indigenous Australian smoking ceremonies, where the purpose is to cleanse a place from the residual spirits of those who have died, promotion of non-Christian religions or Christian groups whose basis of faith differs from Anglican principles, and even yoga classes that involve spiritual practices derived from Hinduism. Bishop Michael Steed, the major sponsor of the new initiative, said that the principle is simple. Churches should not be compelled to use their property for purposes contrary to their doctrine. Critics are calling the proposals direct attacks on minority Australians, and because the policies would forbid Anglican pastors in Sydney who support marriage equality from expressing that belief, an assault on freedom of speech.
But Uruguay lawmakers have approved a measure to allow trans people to change their gender designation on official documents without a judge's approval. The South American country's lower house, the Congress, approved the legislation on October 18th. The wide-ranging measure, which had already passed in the Senate, also guarantees government-paid reassignment surgery and hormone treatments. In addition, it requires that a minimum of 1% of government jobs be given to trans people during the next 15 years and offers trans people born before December 31, 1975, a monthly pension to compensate for being targeted and persecuted during Uruguay's 12-year military dictatorship that ended in 1985. Formal announcement of passage this week in Congress prompted jubilant cheering from trans advocates who'd packed the galleries for the vote. The new laws take effect immediately.
In other news, police had to use tear gas, concussion grenades, and high-pressure water cannons at the first-ever Pride Parade on October 13th in the eastern Polish city of Lublin. But the targets were a violent crowd of some 300 right-wing extremists who were trying to block the procession. Some of them pelted the police with rocks and bottles before running away. About 1,000 LGBTQ people and their allies then hoisted rainbow flags and banners to joyfully parade undisturbed. The event got final approval only the day before when Lublin's Court of Appeals overruled a ban by Mayor Krzysztof Zuk, who had cited security concerns. Despite frequent opposition from government officials in the deeply conservative, mostly Roman Catholic country, pride marches have also been successfully held in Warsaw and a few other cities.
And queer Jamaicans and their supporters chose a deserted road in Montego Bay this week to march with pride. Jamaica is one of the most dangerous places on the planet to be openly queer. Physical violence against people who are LGBTQ or are perceived to be is routine on the Caribbean island. Walk for Rights organizer and leading Jamaican queer activist Maurice Tomlinson told reporters that the turnout more than doubled the number he expected. At the outset, there was fear, Tomlinson said. We hoped to get at least 50 LGBT Jamaicans to bravely walk despite the very real fears that the community feels. However, more than 100 persons showed up. A large police presence guaranteed the safety of what local media described as a well-organized march.
And finally, perhaps because of the male bashing they thought characterized the confirmation hearings of Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh, people who say they voted for Donald Trump in 2016 believe that men face far more discrimination in America than LGBTQ people. A survey of 1,500 U.S. adults conducted from October 14th to 16th by The Economist and the polling company YouGov found that nearly one in five Trump voters say that there's a lot of discrimination against men in the U.S., while only 9% agreed that LGBTQ people face much discrimination. They also think that men suffer more discrimination than women, Jews, Hispanic Americans, African Americans, Asian Americans, Arab Americans, and immigrants. People who voted for Hillary Clinton were essentially the mere opposite in their responses. Only 8% said that queer people don't face a lot of discrimination, and less than 1 in 10 thought that men face substantial bias. Peter Boykin, founder of Gays for Trump and a GOP candidate for the North Carolina House of Representatives, agreed with other Trump voters. He told NBC News that the market is more open for people to be of color or gay, and the tables now have turned where it's now hurtful to your personal prosperity to be a plain cisgender white male. Break out your hankies and miniature violins for the poor, put upon white American male.
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending October 20th, 2018. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon, produced with Brian DeCesar, recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles, and brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at the always updated thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Monique Lukens.
And I'm Michael LeBeau.
Partisan political upheaval is changing the face of key Western democracies from Europe to the U.S. to the land down under. Australia's parliamentary roller coaster lurched into a religious freedom field curve on queer school kids and teachers, which then careened into the election of an independent lesbian MP to upset new Prime Minister Scott Morrison's balance of power. This Way Out Sydney correspondent Barry McKay has been on the two-week ride and tracked the story's complex interconnections as they unfolded.
After the Marriage Equality Bill was passed into law in Australia after a national vote on the issue last year, many members of the hard right of the governing Conservative, Liberal and National Party coalition were not amused. To appease them, the then Prime Minister, Malcolm Turnbull, whose politics are more left-leaning, promised a Protections into Religious Freedoms review, which was supposed to be handed down at the end of this year sometime. Malcolm Turnbull considered the introduction of marriage equality one of the many positive reforms he brought in during his time as Prime Minister. The rough-and-tumble dynamics of Australian politics allow a party to stab their leader in the back whilst in office. And in late August this year, Malcolm Turnbull was deposed as leader by his party members. This was brought about mainly by those on the hard right of the coalition due to Turnbull's centre-left stand on issues such as climate change, energy policy, and the introduction of marriage equality. When Malcolm Turnbull was knifed in the back, he decided to quit politics, thereby triggering a by-election in his former seat of Wentworth in Sydney's eastern suburbs. On the 10th of October, the left-leaning Fairfax Press, which publishes the Sydney Morning Herald and Melbourne's Age newspapers, ran with a story purporting to publish leaks from the long-awaited Protections into Religious Freedoms review. The headlines read, "Secret Plan for Laws to Reject Gay Students." This sent the media abuzz. Even traditionally conservative commentators such as Sky News' Andrew Bolt joined in the chorus of voices calling out the injustice they saw behind this leak to the press.
For 5 months, the federal government sat on a report from its hand-picked panel on how to protect our religious freedom. Today, parts of that report were leaked to the Fairfax media, obviously to hurt the Morrison government ahead of the Wentworth by-election. And what do we read? that we must let religious schools ban children who are gay. That's right. Let them ban students who are gay. Now, of course, those schools should have that freedom. We're a free society, freedom of religion. So, yes, the schools, Christian or Muslim, who want to reject gay students as an abomination can do that. But you know what that report on religious freedom should have added? Any school that does something that mean and that stupid should not get a single dollar of taxpayers' money. These schools are perfectly free to be bigots, but I don't want my taxes subsidising their bigotry. Cut them off. That's my freedom, the freedom not to pay people making life miserable for gay kids.
The opposition leader, Bill Shorten, immediately chimed in.
New laws to discriminate against kids on the basis of sexuality? No way. The fact of the matter is that every child's entitled to human dignity. We shouldn't even be having this debate.
However, the current Prime Minister, Scott Morrison, the first Prime Minister to hold office who attends a Christian fundamentalist church, was quick to point out that the law already had provision for religious schools to have the right to refuse LGBTIQ students.
Well, it's the existing law, and we're not proposing to change that law to take away that existing arrangement that exists. We have a report that's been provided to the government. It's a report to government, not from government. It's a report that the government will be considering and developing a balanced response to.
Ironically, that law was extended in the dying days of a previous Gillard Labor government in 2013 before marriage equality became official policy of the Labor Party. On the 10th of October, Mr. Shorten challenged the Prime Minister to release the entire Religious Freedoms Report.
Labor is challenging Mr. Morrison.
From ABC Radio.
If you're not planning anything nasty, reveal the report before the Wentworth by-election. If you're not going to do anything nasty, then be up front with the Australian people. It's an expert report. What could be in that report which is so bad that it has to remain hidden?
The Wentworth by-election will be crucial to the government's smooth running between now and the next election, expected next year, and determine if it holds on to its one-seat majority in Parliament. The electorate includes Sydney's famous Bondi Beach and King's Cross, and despite having some of Sydney's most expensive real estate within its boundaries, it's largely socially progressive and has a large percentage of LGBT voters. The government's main rival in this contest is Dr. Keren Phelps, who is standing as a high-profile independent candidate. She is former president of the Australian Medical Association and is in a lesbian relationship and is well known in the LGBT community.
The government wants to avoid any controversy that could harm its chances of retaining Wentworth.
ABC Radio's PM program on the 15th of October.
Shadow Attorney General Mark Dreyfus suggests that's why the Ruddock Review into Protections for Religious Freedoms hasn't been publicly released yet, despite being finished for months and much of its contents already known.
Why won't the Prime Minister just release it in full and announce the government's response? So the Australian people, including voters in Wentworth, can read the whole report and know what the government is planning to do. What is the Prime Minister hiding?
The Prime Minister has to
speak. Well, the answer to the question is nothing, Mr. Speaker.
The Ruddock Review recommended clarifying laws that differ from state to state on whether religious schools can expel gay students. The spotlight on the little-known provisions prompted widespread outrage, including in the seat of Wentworth. The government response was to promise to introduce legislation to remove that exemption from anti-discrimination laws. The opposition agreed and then pushed further, seeking to overturn exemptions that allow religious schools to discriminate against gay teachers too. The Treasurer, Josh Frydenberg, was supportive when asked about it on RN Breakfast this morning.
I don't think there's any room for discrimination, be it a student or against a teacher.
Labor was listening.
Does the Prime Minister agree with his Treasurer?
With Bill Shorten asking Scott Morrison twice if he held the same views.
I ask the Prime Minister again. Will the Prime Minister join with Labor to ensure that teachers can't be sacked just because of who they are or who they love?
Scott Morrison is prepared to rush through legislation to protect students where there's no pushback from religious institutions. But when it comes to teachers, there's not the same consensus. So that will be dealt with later, which will be after the by-election in Wentworth this weekend.
And there will be a time and a place to address those issues. And they're important issues. But the issues that we need to address right here and now relate to the children.
On the 12th of October, the Prime Minister Scott Morrison bowed to pressure and promised to bring a law into effect that would ensure that no student is expelled from any religious school on the basis of their sexuality or gender identity. He was not, however, willing to extend this to protecting LGBTIQ teachers from being sacked. The ABC's Catherine Gregory spoke to ABC Radio National's AM program the following day.
So just to give a bit of background, there are currently exemptions in place which do allow religious schools to refuse gay students and teachers. And the review actually recommended to keep this exemption, but also putting conditions around its use, tightening it up, so to speak, making schools be very transparent about any sort of discrimination and ensuring that if they do so, it's in the best interest of the child. So Scott Morrison actually says that the Commonwealth Commission review, which was conducted by Philip Ruddock, was actually about strengthening protections for students from discrimination. Now, he also says that this view that students should not be discriminated against is actually shared across the parliament.
And broadly speaking, Catherine, what's been the response elsewhere so far?
Well, there's been a lot of debate over these proposals, as you can imagine. Very conservative politicians have come out and said that they do actually support the idea of religious schools being able to discriminate on the basis of students and staff sexuality. I've also contacted the Catholic Church and the Anglican Church. I spoke to them late yesterday. They're still really to give their response. I have spoken to other minority faiths who told me that they're against any proposal to discriminate. And this morning, the Association for the Heads of the Independent Schools in Australia said that they've never seen this exemption used. But overall, there's really no doubt that there's been a lot of public outcry over this issue, and it's somewhat reminiscent of what we saw last year with the same-sex marriage debate. So I imagine a lot more will happen in the next few days.
The following Monday on the ABC's National Open Forum TV program Q&A, Christian Principal Kevin Muslaya of the Red Rock Christian College expressed his views on the hiring of gay teachers. However, he was quickly put to task by Labor politician Terry Butler.
Let me just get to the point, though. If you found that one of your teachers was gay, you didn't know that before, even though they were teaching your religious doctrine, would you want the right to sack them?
It's a case by case. I mean, it's really hard to be able to articulate that. And despite, you know, public criticism around that, the very preface that we are a Christian school, there is a particular alignment of values. And so when that comes into question, we have to ask the thing, how is that having an impact on that value base and how we promote that?
Okay, hang on for one sec. I might come back to you, but I'll just, Terry Butler wants to jump in.
Aren't your values love thy neighbour? And if so, why would you discriminate on the ground of sexuality or gender identity? I mean, a gay teacher doesn't teach gay maths, they just teach maths.
On the 17th of October, 3 days out from the Wentworth by-election, reports surfaced of hundreds of anonymous emails being circulated that candidate Karen Phelps had withdrawn from the election contest, claiming that she had AIDS and urged the public to vote for the Liberal Party's candidate, Dave Sharma, instead. There was immediate condemnation of the emails from both sides, and at this stage, it is not known exactly who was behind the email campaign. Reports had emerged on ABC Radio about 2 weeks earlier how an emerging alt-right movement in Australia was seeking to infiltrate and influence the Australian government. Dr. Phelps made her feelings known on ABC Radio.
It certainly wasn't designed to help my campaign, and for somebody to try to circulate an email widely to say that I was pulling out of the race because I'd been diagnosed with this disease is, you know, quite outrageous.
Liberal candidate for Wentworth, Dave Sharma, has been out and about this morning. He's also responded to the email, saying he was disgusted by its contents.
It's just vile and despicable. I was shocked and appalled by them, and not only for the dishonesty and the smears involved, but for the, you know, stigma it put around people with HIV/AIDS.
I think it's disgraceful. I think it's outrageous.
Prime Minister Scott Morrison on ABC Radio the same day.
And as Karen herself has said, that, you know, she doesn't believe it had anything to do, and I'd be horrified if it did, and it didn't, with the Liberal Party. So, I mean, that is the ugly side of Australian politics, and it has no place in any such contest.
It's now the 20th of October, and it became quite evident early in the evening, after the beginning of counting of the votes, that there had been a large swing against the government and that the electorate of Wentworth had gone to Karen Phelps.
Thank you to the people of Wentworth for placing your trust in me. I won't let you down. Thank you to the love of my life, my beautiful wife, Jackie. Just a few short weeks ago, I was told this was an impossible task, and if we actually managed to win the seat of Wentworth, that it would be a miracle. I said that if we won the seat of Wentworth, it would make history. And my friends, we have made history today. What we have done is tapped into a sentiment in the Australian people to talk about the issues that are important to them, not the issues about survival for a particular political party. This victory is for the people in Australia who need a voice. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you.
The Liberal National Coalition government is now a minority government and will have to do some hard bargaining with the crossbench MPs in the House of Representatives to pass legislation. The Protections into Religious Freedoms Review report is yet to be released in full, but the government will now find it harder to get bills through Parliament designed to appeal to the hard right of the coalition. I'm Barry Mackay in Sydney, Australia, for This Way Out.
Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Some program material this week came from Monique Lukens and Michael LeBeau, produced with Brian DeShazer, and from Barry McKay. Alice Cooper performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors who make this program possible. Thanks for helping to keep our 30-year streak going at thiswayout.org. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media and wherever you get your podcasts. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out crew, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WHRW Binghamton, New York, 6RTR Perth, West Australia, KRCL Salt Lake City, Utah, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.